When this happened, you talked about it on The Fan.
Testaverde will take the snap, go to one knee. This game is over. The Jets lock up their first playoff appearance since 1991 on a 21-16 victory over the Miami Dolphins.
When New York sports happens, talk about it here. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the Free Odyssey app.
All right, 303, McMonagle here with you. So we just talked about Jalen Brunson being named the 36th captain in New York Knicks history and the last one since Lance Thomas. And I only had a few minutes there up until the top of the hour. But Fliegelman said something to me, and I was thinking it too. I was like, and I mentioned that I like the idea that you don't have a captain every year, that you got to earn it. I'm wondering what Lance Thomas did to earn the captain.
Oh, it's a who's who.
I mean, that's and then so I'm sitting here, and Marco, like, as he's getting ready to get out of here, he's like, did you see the list of the complete, like, all of the Knicks captains? And I'm like, no, why is it like,
it's embarrassing, is what it is.
All right, so I gotta try and find it.
Look, Lance Thomas was the last Knick captain,
right?
That already tells you something. Do you know who was before him?
No,
Courtney Lee. What are we doing? That's your captain? That's leading the charge?
Did they actually put out press releases saying we've announced court?
This is off the Knicks' Twitter. I mean,
okay.
Anthony before that.
Okay, that makes sense.
Amari Stoudemire. Raymond Felton. I'm listening. David Lee. Chris Duhon.
The next one is where they completely will lose everybody. Or I guess did, and we don't remember.
Yeah, I mean, listen.
How about this one?
Lance Thomas and,
this is the guy you want leading the charge. Eddie Curry. I'm not kidding.
Thinking back to Eddie Curry's Knicks tenure.
No, he was not.
Oh, yes, he was.
How did that happen?
They named Eddie Curry captain of the...
He was the highest paid player. He was the guy that Isaiah Thomas put all the eggs in that basket.
Yeah,
Eddie Curry.
And then he ate them all.
Uh-huh.
Like, there is
with Big Snacks, the two of them.
There is no way they named Eddie Curry.
Oh yeah.
Oh, my God.
This one I love, too, because this is a guy that I liked when they picked him up.
Right.
And I was like, you know what? This is good. This experience is a guy. He played about 15 minutes in his time with the Knicks. Malik Rose was the captain.
Wow. You know, and here I am praising the Knicks for not having
him
captain,
his biggest
not
role
forcing
was?
It.
You know what Malik Rose's biggest role was?
What? Yeah,
I know. I mean, come on. Steve Francis?
Steve, the franchise was the captain.
Oh, I'm not kidding.
Oh, my God.
That's what I'm saying. Like, some of this stuff is...
I should have looked into this. I've done a complete 180. I was somewhat praising the Knicks for not forcing captains on us and waiting for the right guy.
This is one too that if you didn't have some of these bevy of garbage, I would let this one go.
Yeah.
Herb Williams was captain at one point.
Well, yeah, I like Herb.
We all love Herb. Yeah. Herb didn't play.
I know, but you could be a captain and be Herb Williams. I don't know.
You could be a captain and not play.
Yeah.
And I mean never. Never.
I know.
Herb Williams played when Patrick Ewing was in, brutal foul trouble.
No, I understand.
Come on.
I understand.
Come on. You could be a...
Herb Williams was also the king of the interim coach, right? Was he an interim coach?
Yes,
like six times.
So Lenny Wilkins. Thing with Herb Williams, though, he was... Because I was looking at the list, and it's a weird gap. Like, how was he after Ewing, Jackson, Oakley, Harper, before Larry Johnson?
Mm-hmm.
It's because Herb Williams was one year they had four co-captains. And he was part of that group.
That was something I even remember when I was younger. Like in the 90s, when the Knicks would get introduced, they would say, like, you know, try captain or whatever. And I was like, you know, you can't have three out of the five starting lineup be your captain.
Yeah.
And three out of, like, your nine in the rotation be the captain. You can't have one third of your team be captains. It just doesn't work.
Well, they did that, plus a guy who always rolled the bench in Herb Williams.
You can be a veteran. You can be a presence. You can be a guy that everyone leans on. You can't be the captain if you don't play. Like, there's a difference between the two. But I'll digress from Herb Williams.
You can't be Eddie Curry. That's the name on the list that jumps out at me.
Herb Williams because we
right.
Courtney Lee. What are we doing?
No, that's
stop it.
The only thing, like, I don't remember so much about Courtney Lee and Lance Thomas being like negatives. There was just they were on an awful team. Whatever. Maybe they were leaders. We know who Eddie Curry was in his time with the Knicks.
Yeah.
So the fact that he is on this list. Is it, like, that must have been offensive to his teammates. He didn't lead anybody.
No.
He was in front of the buffet line, but he didn't lead anybody.
No. I mean, it's one of the more embarrassing names associated with the Knicks.
It is. Forget
that he's captain. Just flat out, one of the more embarrassing time frames and players brought here is Eddie Curry.
I get it, but when you're winning 20 games and everybody's a mercenary and everyone's a traveling, Why would you name a captain?
Thank you.
That's, Lou Edmondson. Yes, like, why do you need a captain at that
captain.
Point?
I agree.
So why did you need Lance Thomas and Courtney Lee?
Like, you didn't.
What was the point?
I have no idea. Because they, I don't know, to have some sort. I don't even, did they actually put out press releases announcing these guys as captain?
I don't know, a press release.
I couldn't find an Eddie Cartwell. But meanwhile, this is another thing, too, to give credit to the guys. So Lance Thomas was, what, the 18-19 season we heard?
Yeah.
This was a practice that, it means Leon Rose was the one who put an end to this crap. And then waited until they had a deserving captain
right.
to put it back.
Yeah, it's true.
That's another thing that Leon Rose,
yep.
and I guess you could probably include Tom Thibodeau in that as well.
Yeah.
They deserve credit for kind of restoring some common sense to this.
Yeah. I guess, but I mean, do you deserve credit for just not being incompetent? They deserve credit for a lot of things.
For 20
when you run
years,
the
yeah.
Knicks.
I struggle with that.
Yeah.
I can't give, what, you're not as dumb as everybody else?
Yeah.
I mean, that good for you, but
Marco,
that's not
that
exactly.
That fits like two-thirds of the team in this town.
Yeah. Oh,
that's so bad. That's just bad.
I know.
The bar is lowered so much.
I know. I had no idea. He's
Chris Duhon?
If you were making a list of the worst potential captains of any New York sports team in the last 20 years,
I can't imagine.
Eddie Curry would be top five.
Easy. I can't think of a worse one. I can't think of a worse name being named captain.
Here's the question.
Zach Wilson.
He is a punch joke. He is a punchline. He is a punchline.
Here's my question. And I don't know.
Was he a team captain? I mean, as a starting quarterback, that's kind of a function of the position in the NFL.
It defaults to it.
If you're not a captain as the quarterback coming out of camp, that's it. Your team's done. Forget about it.
Exactly.
It's over. But Eddie Curry, and here's my question. I don't remember this. Was he named captain after he played or like the day he got traded from the Bulls? Because Isaiah Thomas, basically, when he traded for him, he handed him a contract.
Yeah.
And then everybody watched him play and was like, what the hell are we doing?
Yeah.
So was it the day he got traded for and they didn't realize the big mistake that they made?
Yeah.
Or was this after he was there for a year or so and they saw how bad he was and how little he actually tried?
And that just speaks to me on the whole idea of a captain. Like, nobody should be given a captainship before stepping on the... Like, Messier didn't deserve it to be called captain the second he came to the team. Like, you have to have put some equity into the organization before they name you captain. Like, that's why I don't like hockey. I don't like the idea that every team has to have a captain.
We don't have to. The Rangers didn't have one for a little while.
How long? A year or two? Like, max, right?
No, they between Callahan and...
What's his name was the captain? The defenseman who's now with Toronto. Why can't I think of his name? It's early in the morning.
Jeez, I can't even think of the captain now that they want to trade and they can't get rid of...
Yeah, no.
I mean, I'm losing my mind.
I know.
You get out of season and they don't know who the hell anybody is. Like, a picture his face.
No, McDonough was the captain right after Callahan.
All right, so McDonough and then into, okay, who's the captain now?
Yeah, but no, they went a few years before Trouba was named captain.
Trouba, Jacob Trouba, Jesus.
They went at least like 2 or 3 years.
Yeah, they did. Because that was the thing.
It was a big story when they
named who's going to be the captain? Was it going to be Kreider? Was it going to be Zibanejad? Was it going to be Trouba? Like, they didn't know where to go.
But they feel like they have to name a captain.
After a couple of years,
Knicks were naming captains. Like, this is all news to me. I thought, like, when I saw the 36th captain, I said, really, there's been 35? Before I even thought of who they were, I was like, 35 captains of the Knicks?
Well,
like,
apparently,
I remember, like, if you would have told me the first captain since Willis Reed, I would have been like, okay, it makes sense. Like, I wouldn't have even thought of it.
Apparently, between Willis Reed, there was only, like, whatever, 10 or 12.
Right.
And then there was a stretch where they named a captain every year for like 20 years.
Yeah.
So 36 doesn't make a whole hell of a lot of sense when Willis Reed was like the 12th or something like that.
Yeah, yeah.
There shouldn't be that guys in between, that many guys. But I mean, look, the Bernard Kings, okay.
Yeah.
Patrick Ewing, of course.
Of course.
You know, you added a Charles Oakley in. All right.
Sure.
You know, no problem. But some of these guys, it's just.
No.
I mean, come on. The only one, like Kurt Thomas, all right, he was there for a decade.
Yeah, right.
They sucked, but he was their heart and soul. He was their guy.
Right.
Okay, I'm listening.
Yeah.
Stephon Marbury, not a good one, but all right, it was your entire franchise. All right, I'm listening. Malik Rose, he was there for 10 minutes.
Yeah, no, Malik Rose.
Steve Francis, he was there for 5 minutes.
Yeah, it's embarrassing. That's embarrassing. Eddie Curry.
Lance Thomas? Eddie Curry?
Eddie Curry's the worst.
Chris
Duhon? He's literally like,
come on.
He's literally what you say when you're trying to make fun of the Knicks, and they called him captain. And that's, I cannot believe it.
You think when they get together,
you think they'll get together and have a picnic?
You think maybe when they see Eddie Curry, they call him Cap?
Yeah.
Is that like O'Neal whenever he sees Mattingly?
Yeah, right. Oh my God, that's embarrassing. I had no idea. I was oblivious to all this. I guessed the last Knick captain. I would have said Patrick Ewing. I would have no memory of any of these guys being named captain. None. No memory.
I don't remember Carmelo Anthony even being named captain.
Yeah, I wouldn't even
honestly.
Yeah.
But I mean. That's fine. I mean, I just don't remember that prominent role with the
like. They don't talk about it. Like no one mentions that he's captain. Like they talk about Judge now being the captain. It's a little more.
Well, but it's also it's not all the time, and it's there for a long time. And Judge, until they gave him the contract, they weren't going to name him the captain.
Right.
There's something
to be told
for a captain.
Yeah.
There's supposed to be some longevity. There's supposed to be some equity.
Yes.
There's supposed to be all kinds of things.
That's what you're saying.
Never mind leadership. There's also all kinds of stuff that goes along with it.
Right.
For the Knicks, the only time I remember the captains was I remember like Ewing, Oakley, and it doesn't have it on this list, but I could have swore John Starks was a tri-captain at one point. They would name all of them in starting lineup, and I was like, it's a bit much. Like,
right.
I felt like Ewing was the captain of that team, and leave it alone. You wanted to add Oakley in? All right, but I felt like it was Ewing's team. Just leave it that.
Yeah.
And then they started, Derek Harper was named captain. It was kind of like, there's too many guys.
Yeah, definitely.
And then I feel like they didn't name it at all after that. And rightfully so. They sucked. And there wasn't a guy that was hang your hat on him. Lance Thomas, okay. I don't remember him being the captain, but he'd be the only guy in this bevy of 15 years of dreck that I would even at least listen to. Guy played hard. He was their heart and soul. They just sucked.
Yeah. Okay.
Lance Thomas, though, I don't.
No.
I mean, Kurt Thomas, Lance
Kurt Thomas. Kurt Thomas, I thought that's what you said, Lance Thomas. No, Kurt Thomas,
I didn't mean
I get.
To. Kurt Thomas.
Kurt Thomas, I get. Lance Thomas, I do not get. Eddie Curry, I do not get. Chris Duhon.
I'm a little caught up on Courtney Lee as well.
Courtney Lee, I do not get. Yeah.
Come on. His best attribute was his contract that they could trade him. I mean, come on.
I'm trying to think of comps. I think I found one for Eddie Curry.
Okay.
And because you mentioned him earlier, it would have been like naming Kenny Golladay the captain of the Giants.
Right. Right. He comes over, big contract, apparent best wide receiver in the free agent class. He comes here. Let's just call Golladay captain.
Tremaine Johnson, captain of the Giants. And honestly, he may have been that first year when they got him. Because in the NFL, we know they name one in each unit. Or a lot of teams do that.
Right.
In the NFL, they got too many captains too, but again, it's different. It's different. It's not.
But also,
same.
Yeah, and football's different. I don't know.
You vote on it with the teammates,
captains,
and you do it for every year, and it doesn't really hold a lot of water.
Right,
and it,
right, yeah.
You know, you
and
send that, different guys out.
This feels like voting on it is big. There's no way Eddie Curry's teammates voted Eddie Curry the captain of the Knicks.
No.
Which is why, again, that's why if your quarterback is not a captain, you're dead man walking right from the start. Because if your teammates don't believe in the one guy that you have, you're done.
Right. But you're
and
done
that's
before
why
the year
it throws out like the you should play for the team before they vote for you. Because last year, the Jets voted Rodgers captain. This year, the Falcons are going to vote Cousins a captain.
It just
comes with the position.
Yeah, it comes with the position. And the NFL is different. You have multiple captains. You have a special teams captain. You have guys who meet at the center of the field to start the game.
Well, but I mean, like your long snapper is a captain. Is he really the guy that everybody goes to for leadership? No, he's just, he's a long snapper.
Right.
Come on.
He's been there forever.
Graham Gano, I'm pretty sure, is not leading the huddle.
No.
Jacoby Ellsbury, captain of the Yankees. Like, this is the kind of territory we're treading with Eddie Curry.
That's blasphemy.
Might be better than Eddie Curry.
I mean, probably, but the captain of the Yankees has much more prestige.
I'm aware of that. I'm just trying to think of, like, is there anybody that did less with their contract than Eddie Curry?
No. There might not be. No.
Like, even, like, if I said
Carl
Jason
Pavano?
Bay for the Mets, Bay
Jason
was
Bay,
far
yeah.
better for
yeah, yeah.
the Mets than Curry was for
yeah.
the Knicks. And
no,
he
I
was
don't
a disaster
think, I,
from
I
day one.
Yeah, I don't think you can. I don't think you can find a worse player for the contract that he was given than Eddie Curry.
They handed him the
James.
Franchise. Well, I mean, Big Snacks, I mean, his contract was awful, but it was half of the contract of Curry. Now, granted.
And the trade to get him.
I mean.
Joakim Noah, captain of the Knicks.
You know what? That would have been that would have been apropos. Yeah. He should have been on this list.
And that's something apropos. Like Phil could have made. Phil would have
Absolutely.
Made him and Neil Aquino co-captains.
I mean, so that was her during his time.
Yeah.
He gave Courtney Lee and Lance Thomas the captainship. Is that basically where we are? That was what Phil gave the Knicks.
No, I think he was gone by Lance Thomas. He might have been Courtney Lee. He was gone.
Oh,
by
he was
Lance
definitely
Thomas.
Courtney Lee. I'm pretty sure that was one of his moves.
Because Phil was out in summer of 2017.
Right.
So Lance Thomas was the year after that.
Porzingis' brother, captain?
Hmm.
That probably makes as much sense.
Hmm. I think I'd rather that than Curry.
Yeah. Thank you for letting me know this. I had no idea the captain was such a joke inside the Knicks organization. I had no idea. I had no idea we finally brought some stabilization to it. Hopefully this is now for,
So Brunson, so is he going to be the only captain, though?
I hope so.
Josh Hart going to be captain with him?
Yeah, I know.
DiVincenzo?
Yeah, they'll just call it the
Mitchell Robinson
will
get one,
captain.
Too?
No, they'll just name all the...
Jay Wright, honorary captain.
Jay Wright, honorary captain. He should be. Honestly, he should be assistant coach. Embarrassing. I had no idea.
Steve Francis.
Oh, my God. Chris Duhon.
This is another thing that we can probably blame Isaiah Thomas for. Another part of the Knicks he ruined.
Yeah, it sounds like he was handing them out like candy.
Well, you know what? He gave the Allen Houston and then the gap to Stephon Marbury.
Yeah.
So, yeah. I mean, that's basically Isaiah Thomas then.
Yeah.
And so, Scott Layden didn't give out. I mean, he made every bad trade, but he didn't give out any of the captaincies.
Yeah, I mean, really, what a... I mean, I heard BT today and Hoff trying to talk about which franchise is worse, the Knicks, the Jets, or the Mets, for whatever reason. That was a discussion they were having. It's hard to be worse than what the Knicks have been for the last 20 years. I mean, it's really bad.
You could stumble into better decisions than the Knicks have made in the last 20 years.
Like, it's just, it's brutal.
There's not that many guys on the roster.
No.
You can, I mean, throw a dart and find better players than what the Knicks have put
together.
Think
about who they've missed in the draft, the draft picks, the trades, Eddie Curry's of the world, now who they named captain, the head coaches they ran through. Mm-hmm. Like, the Jets have years of, you know, making the playoffs, winning seasons. They had a stretch of hiring head coaches, and the first year with the head coach would be a winning.
They had a good 10-year stretch.
We're talking about the Jets versus the Knicks. Obviously, the Knicks are out of it now, but the Mets and Jets probably both have double the playoff appearances. Yeah. The Mets were in a World Series in the last decade. They didn't win it, obviously, but Jets had the years 15 years ago, back-to-back AFC title games. I mean, the Knicks were dead for 20 years.
I think they went back to 69, so obviously the Knicks had the 90s where they were, you know, one of the better teams in the league every single year, went to an NBA Finals. But, I mean, if you go since then, if you go since the year 2000, the last 24 years, it's hard to argue the Knicks are the worst by far. Just a dumpster fire.
You would look that through all the sports. I mean, you'd have to start picking out other teams that have been worse than
you'd
that.
You'd put every New York, you'd put the three hockey teams above them. And because of 2002, 2004, you'd put the Nets above them easily.
Mm-hmm. Easily. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Everyone's above them. They're the worst.
Right. You'd have to start looking at, like, when did the Kings tail off in Sacramento? When did the Raiders fall apart? Like
the Raiders after the 02 Super Bowl, I'm trying to think of worst run organizations. It's hard. It's hard to find worse.
Well, when you give Eddie Curry your captaincy, I mean, that's a good way to start. And then you follow it up with Chris Duhon.
Let's see where the White Sox, what they do in the next 19 years.
A couple years ago, they were the most young, talented team in the American League.
Remember that year everybody picked them to win the division? It might have been after the COVID, because they had a good COVID season. They were in the playoffs.
Yeah.
And like 2021 or 22, everybody expected they're going to take off. Yeah. And they still have or had all that young talent. Yeah. It all fell apart for them.
Well, they made a couple of bad. I mean, Tony La Russa was a disastrous coaching hire. They've done a couple of dumb things, but they've amazing.
They celebrated like they won the World Series.
I know.
I get it to a point.
I feel bad for them.
Because if you're those players, half of them shouldn't be on a major league roster, and they don't want the stink of the longest losing streak in history attached.
Yeah,
like putting a AAA team in the majors and asking them to win, and they're going to celebrate when they avoid history.
To me, that should be relief. That's not celebration. That's relief. You should be grateful and relieved that it's over, but you shouldn't be celebrating. There's two different things.
Well, I mean, I saw a little bit where they didn't jump the mound.
Nah, they're a little too happy. 21 straight losses and the fact that you're, 60 games under 500?
Right. And they did it against Oakland. It's not like they beat a premier team.
Slow down.
If they would have beat Cleveland for it or something.
You're lucky you got to shake hands.
Yeah.
Move it along.
I get you. All right. Thank you very much, Marco. Thank you for illuminating how pathetic the Knicks are. Like we all needed to understand it further.
Yes,
no, I know. That's true. That is true. Leon Rose has led them, along with the new captain, Jalen Brunson, out of the darkness and into the light. 888-808-1019. Now let's see if Malik Nabers can do the same for the Giants. Let's see if Jazz Chisholm can do the same for the New York Yankees. And let's see who should I pick for the Mets? Who should we pick for the Mets? Who's going to lead them out of the darkness into the light? Pete Alonso, Jose Iglesias.
You been saying that the last few days?
I have been saying Pete. I was going to say Pete Alonso, but, I wanted someone who actually could do it. I'm just kidding, Pete.
Annoy people on the quiet car and call the Fan. 888-808-1019. Powered by Paramount Plus. Stream the NFL on CBS live on Paramount Plus.
All right, 326. McMonagle here with you. You know, What I, you know, because I am a Yankee fan, I get a lot of, you know, stuff about the Yankees on Twitter and questions asked. And one of the more common questions of late have been about Jason Dominguez and the Yankees' intentions with Jason Dominguez. And, you know, everybody, you know, it's funny too because I was using him. I wouldn't say using him, but I talked about him as being part of the solution during the struggles as we waited for people to return from injury. Right? So when everybody said, what is this team going to do? How are they going to get out of it? And I went on this whole thing about how the team's going to look different, right? The team's going to look different. And I would say Giancarlo Stanton is going to come back. Jason Dominguez is going to get healthy. They're going to have the trade deadline. And I use those things. And I'm not saying I didn't believe them. I'm just saying I those are the things that I believed were going to change the team and make them different than the pitiful lineup that they were presenting where culminated and hit its high point with Jahmy Jones hitting leadoff and J.D. Davis batting cleanup against the Mets. And thankfully, that seems to have been rock bottom. I'm trying to see his last couple days here. But here's the thing. The lineup has changed. They acquired Jazz Chisholm at the trade deadline. He's immediately taken to third base to the point where Aaron Boone went on he did a live event with John Boy and talked about how Jazz Chisholm literally came to him and said, I feel like, you know, I was born to be a third baseman. I love playing third base. So, I mean, that's a discussion right there about building the team for next year and how he could be the starting third baseman next year, and you could have a couple of minor leaguers trying to figure out and compete for the starting second job next year, because I don't think it'll be Gleyber Torres. But anyway, about Jason Dominguez. And for a while, it felt like, well, as soon as he's ready, you got to call him up. I mean, you know, he was phenomenal at the end of last year. They need him. The lineup's been terrible. We've been touting him as part of the reason we believe in a turnaround here with this offense. But right now, I still don't know if there's a place for him. And I don't believe it's about money. And I know a lot of people are saying, well, they don't want to ruin his rookie season. I think we're already past that date. I think we're already past the point where he won't, you know, for his contract purposes. Like, he's the clock won't start on him if they call him up now. So I don't think that's the issue. I think the issue is right now, the offense has started to produce. And I still think they believe, whether or not it's warranted or not, and he's been bad the last, you know, series or so. He's 0 for his last 10, I think, or 1 for 11 or something. But Verdugo, who got hot in the Boston series and carried it through Philadelphia, I still think they believe in him. I still think they don't want to get rid of him. I still think they believe to have him in the lineup every day. And right now, the Yankees have been scoring runs. I don't expect Jason Dominguez to be called up right away. I want to give him some time. And here's the main point. Like, we all assume, and I understand I said it too, and that's why I'm prefacing it with, I talked about bringing up him back, and I talked about Stanton and him coming back from injury. I even talked about John Birdie, who we're hoping, you know, can return eventually, because he's a good little pesky little hitter. He'll help this team on some level. At what level, now that Jazz Chisholm is here, I don't know. Considering Jazz is here, you still have Cabrera, you still have Torres. I'm not sure where John Birdie fits, but he's a good little player who can help this team. And I mentioned those three, including Jason Dominguez, because they needed a spark. They needed something to change. They needed to start scoring runs. They needed something different than J.D. Davis hitting cleanup. And now Stanton has returned, and now Verdugo did get hot, and Gleyber Torres has been better since the initial benching about a month ago, and the offense has been scoring 5-6 runs a night. And while Jason Dominguez came up last year and was incredible, and his first swing was an opposite field home run in Houston against Verlander, and he didn't slow down from there. I get it. And I believe in him. And I honestly believe he is going to be the starting center fielder next year with Soto in left and Judge in right or vice versa. I firmly believe that. But he's coming off Tommy John, and he's coming off an oblique injury. And I don't know, you know, he's come up, he had success early on. His current stats this year, he's killing it. In 114 at-bats, which isn't a ton, but in 114 at-bats, six home runs, 17 RBIs, he's hitting .316, on-base percentage of .371, and an OPS of .889. He is, without question, dominating AAA. But I still want to see more of that. I don't know right now if he plays every day. I don't know if the Yankees view him. When he gets called up, like he got called up last year, thrusted right into the lineup, I don't want to bring up Jason Dominguez to a team that has found it, has won 7 of 10, who has thrusted back into first place, by the way, a half a game up over Baltimore. I don't want to have to fit him in. When Verdugo was in a 10 for 115 stretch, and the Yankees were batting against left-handed pitchers, J.D. Davis in the cleanup spot, anybody would have made sense. And to harken back to the end of the season and Jason Dominguez was just something you would envision, and anything could help him. Now, I don't know what happens in September. They open up the roster if he's going to be a part of it. And once he's here, I want to play him and give him a legitimate shot to see if he is that switch-hitting powerhouse he was at the end of last year. I'm open to it. And if I didn't think, like, honestly, you want my honest opinion, what the Yankees should do, I'd bring him up and play him. I don't think the Yankees will do that, and I don't think they have to now. And I'm not sure. I wouldn't mind more at-bats for him, but I believe in him, and I still don't believe in Verdugo, and I love the switch-handed nature of him, and he was supposed to be the starting center fielder if not hurt. And so I get all of that. But my concern is a little bit, let him play for a while and stay healthy, first off. And more than that, I just don't see the Yankees doing it. I don't see the Yankees jettisoning a guy who the captain, as we just had the big conversation about the captain, I don't think they're going to jettison a guy, the captain, specifically targeted to bring here in Verdugo, who's been swinging the bat better as of late while the team is scoring runs. And plus, they got another big question to answer besides Jason Dominguez. What are they going to do when Anthony Rizzo comes back? Like, what do they do with Ben Rice, who's cooled off, let's be honest? What do they do with Ben Rice? What do they do with Anthony Rizzo? Does Rizzo just get his starting first baseman job back? Is he on the bench? Do they just send Ben Rice down? Do they keep him on the bench and send down Oswaldo Cabrera, who right now really is the only... I don't know if Jazz can play shortstop. Right now, Cabrera is the only backup shortstop. I don't know if you can send him down. So the roster's about to get kind of clunky as they're bringing back guys, and Rizzo hasn't been successful really in the last year and a half. Having guys like Ben Rice on the team once, you know, to have two first basemen like that, and to have guys who are important to the team. Verdugo brought a little bit of swag, brought here by the captain. I don't know if they're ready to get rid of him. Rizzo, clearly a huge voice inside that clubhouse, best friends with the captain and that contract, and who he is, someone with a Chicago Cubs World Championship ring on his finger, someone who's been there, done that, won big games. I don't think they're just getting rid of him. I think they're going to plug him back into first base. This roster does become a bit clunky when guys come back, and I don't think the added element of playing games with Jason Dominguez makes sense. If they were willing to bench one of these guys and just play Dominguez, fine. If Stanton goes down again, absolutely. If there is another injury to this team, sure. But to bring him in now, where Grisham's played better, I don't think they want to get rid of him and his ability to play center field. I don't think they're ready to just bench Verdugo or do something. Like, there's just no room for Jason Dominguez unless the Yankees are ready to make those hard decisions. And you might be. They're not. They're a game over 500. They've scored the most. Like, this is how they view it. Like, you hear Brian Cashman, you hear Aaron Boone speak. They know the offense went through struggles. They know that. They also know that they've scored more runs than anybody in baseball. They don't view the offense right now in desperate need of Jason Dominguez. And it's unfortunate because we've been clamoring for him. And I've been saying it. Well, once Dominguez gets healthy, once Stan gets healthy, like, we've been pointing to him as someone who's going to come here and be a game changer. He's someone who can switch hit. He's someone who could play center field. He could play probably a corner outfield spot. He's shown you power. He's shown you the ability to hit. He's killing it in AAA. He's done everything he possibly could to deserve being on this team. But it just feels like right now, I don't think there's a spot for him. You got Rizzo coming back, and this team is hopefully about to take off and try and settle things. And you have enough question marks as it is to bring Jason Dominguez. Now, you need as many good players as you can, no doubt. And if they start to struggle offensively, it's an easy call-up. But I get a lot of, why isn't Dominguez here? When can Dominguez come? I just saw Dominguez hit a double down in the minor leagues. When is Dominguez? And so for those of you who keep peppering me with these Dominguez questions, until the Yankees struggle, until something changes, I really don't think they want to complicate this roster and arguably, you know, quell his development by bringing him up and not playing him much. Because if you think about it, Grisham's been relatively hot, and he's a Gold Glove caliber center fielder. I don't know what they believe Jason Dominguez is defensively in center field. Right? Soto plays every day. Judge plays every day, whether it be in the outfield or in DH. You just added Jazz Chisholm. LeMahieu's starting to get hot. He felt like a player you could get rid of. Now he's won two games out of the last three wins. You've got Anthony Rizzo's taking batting practice today. It just feels like the roster, there's so many guys, some of them underperforming, some of them we wish weren't here for different points in the season. But right now they've been scoring runs. They lead the American League and all of baseball in runs scored. And I just don't think that Jason Dominguez thing is going to happen. So for those of you who continue to ask me the question, I think you can expect to see Jason Dominguez in September when they add one or two players to the roster, one or two spots to the roster. You will see Jason Dominguez come up then. And even then, I don't know if you'll play him. And everyone just assumes. Like there's a couple of Yankee guys on Twitter who are very good, do a lot of different things, provide good content on Twitter. And they're focused on the idea of settling the outfield of that I talked about next year, Dominguez, Judge, Soto, for the playoff run. That's making a very large leap into what we think Dominguez will be right now. Right? I believe in him long term. I have no idea what he would be for a stretch run coming up now after not playing in the major leagues for a year. Like, that's asking a lot of the Yankees to, you know, bring up this kid and just thrust him right into the middle of the outfield while they're scoring runs and winning. So I think we'll see in September, and then you might not see him that much. He's going to be a bench role player, and you'll see if he can work his way, whether it's his production or others' failures, into the starting lineup on a regular basis. But ultimately, I don't want Jason Dominguez here until that's what he is. Last year, it made sense. They were terrible. They were playing guys like Franchy Cordero and Jake Bowers and, you know, Billy McKinney. Those were the outfielders last year. Now they have Judge, Soto, and Verdugo, and Verdugo just started to hit, and they brought him here for a reason. So we'll see. And the other thing I wanted to talk about is something that keeps coming up. And even Fliegelman can tell you, I got into a discussion with Boomer about this. The Juan Soto contract and the misconception of it drives me absolutely bonkers. I don't understand it at all. Like, I just don't. The first and foremost thing about Juan Soto, now look, I don't love having this conversation because, like I said, the New York Yankees are in first place by half a game. So I'm much more interested in what's going to happen the rest of this year than what's going to happen in the offseason bringing Soto back. But I got to talk about the idea that the Yankees would not pay Juan Soto more than Aaron Judge. I can't even imagine that being a thing. If it is, the Yankees are far dumber than I think they are, and they're more like what you think they are. Because the idea they wouldn't pay any more than what they've already given Judge is asinine. It doesn't make any sense. First of all, he's far younger, right? He's 4 years younger than Judge, 5 years younger than Judge at free agency time. So he's clearly going to get the balloon payment. The overall number is going to far surpass Aaron Judge's 360. Right? So that's without doubt. That's without doubt. I don't even know if anybody doubts that. If you do, you're crazy. Is he better than Aaron Judge? No, he's not. Aaron Judge is the better player. Is he more important to this team? No. Judge is the captain, the better player, the bigger presence in the clubhouse. It's Judge's team. It's always going to be Judge's team until he leaves. But Juan Soto's 4 years younger. He's a Hall of Fame player, and he's the next guy up. They get paid more. The contracts don't go down. They go up. And so clearly he's going to make more overall because he's going to get a 12-year contract, a 13-year contract, as opposed to a 9-year deal that Judge got. So clearly the big number total is going to go up. And, you know, I don't think, I heard Joe and Jerry talking about it yesterday. I don't know if he's going to make $50 million a year. I don't know about that. Judge makes 40. Judge makes $40 million a year. Are they going to put that at the limit because you can't make more money than Judge? Absolutely not. And I'll tell you this. If it's a problem with Aaron Judge, if that's a problem in the clubhouse, if Aaron Judge honestly has an issue with someone making more money than him, then he's not the captain I think he is. Because to me, Aaron Judge is about winning. Sure, when the time came for him to get paid, he wanted to get paid, clearly. And he wanted to be a Yankee, and he said, I need that extra 9 years. He got what he wanted. He wanted $40 million a year, and he wanted 9 years. That's exactly what he got. He could have went elsewhere for more money. San Diego offered him more money. He could have went to San Diego for more money. He wanted $40 million. He wanted 9 years. He wanted to be a Yankee. Aaron Judge got everything he wanted. Aaron Judge is also a union guy. Aaron Judge was there during the lockout. Aaron Judge was there in the meetings. Aaron Judge understands. Aaron Judge wanted $40 million a year so that Soto could make more than $40 million a year. That's all part of it. They want the next guy to make more money. They want contracts to go up and up and up because if they ever need another contract, that's how it works. That's how they think. They want the players to make the money. Do you think they would rather have that money in Hal Steinbrenner's pocket than in a player that can help him win a championship? Is that what we believe? That Aaron Judge would feel so disrespected? Now, it's one thing because this conversation came up around Gerrit Cole and the pitcher from Japan who Fliegelman's going to have to help me with because my mind is gone at 3:45 in the morning. Who's the Japanese pitcher that the Dodgers signed instead of the Yankees?
Yamamoto.
Yamamoto. Thank you very much, sir. This came up with Yamamoto that they didn't want to offer him more money than Cole because Yamamoto's never pitched in Major League Baseball. And at the beginning of the year, at the beginning of the offseason, they were figuring, maybe somewhere around $200 million, 190 to 210, somewhere around there. And somehow it ballooned all the way up to the richest contract for a starting pitcher in Major League history. And the Yankees didn't want to go there. And I'm not sure it had anything to do with Cole, more just the value they believed worthy of a starting pitcher who's never pitched in Major League Baseball before. But if some inside the circles of the New York Yankees felt it was unfair to give someone who's never pitched in Major League Baseball before more money than their Cy Young Award winner, I suppose that's a little bit different than a 25-year-old superstar who's already won a World Series and is being compared to Ted Williams. He's had 6 years in the major leagues. He has an OPS of 1,000 right now. The guy's going to the Hall of Fame. He is not some player from another country who's never played in Major League Baseball before. Juan Soto is a superstar already. Juan Soto is a world champion already. The idea Judge would complain Or the idea the Yankees feel you can't pay him more because he's better. Since when does that matter? Do you want to go through the guys who get more than players who aren't as good as them? Or get more than players who are better than them? I'll be here all day listing guys who are overpaid. I don't know if he's going to make $50 million a year. I don't think it's going to get that high. But it's probably going to be over 40. Or right around 40. And if Judge has a problem with it, then he's not the captain I think he is. And if the Yankees don't want to pay him because they think they'll insult Judge, they're stupider than I thought. This is what it's about. You have to go sign the great player. You think Judge would rather have Wells and Stanton hitting around him? He's getting walked now as it is. It's just, I don't understand the thought process at all. And it started, it started from the beginning. It started when they first traded for him. Right, Randy Watson was talking about not, oh, they won't sign Soto to a long-term contract because you'd have to pay him more than Judge, and the Yankees aren't doing that. Why exactly? Why? Judge has to be the highest-paid player on the team. He's not. They're not doing it for, you know, they're not giving Gleyber Torres that contract. They're not bringing in Pete Alonso to pay him that kind of contract. Not even, it wouldn't have been Corey Seager or anybody like that. It's literally the youngest Hall of Fame caliber superstar to possibly ever hit free agency. And if it weren't for the ability of a certain player last year to both pitch and hit, it's going to be, if it weren't for Ohtani last year, this is the biggest free agent in baseball history. He's going to get paid. So I'm baffled that so many people have a reluctance to understand or thought that the Yankees wouldn't pay him more than Judge, or that how can you do that to Judge? How can you do that to Judge? How can you not win a World Series with Judge? How can you not put a team around Judge that gets him a championship? You want to talk about what's going to bother Judge? When Judge is 50 years old sitting around, you know, with his 12 children sitting around a campfire enjoying his palatial, Northern California home in the offseason thinking about his life, he's not going to sit there going, man, can you believe they paid Soto $2 million more than me? He's going to be sitting there going, man, I was the best player in baseball for a stretch and I couldn't win a championship. That's what he's going to be thinking about. That's what's going to be stuck in his craw. That's what he's focused on now. He's not focused on whether or not he's the highest paid Yankee. He's focused on whether he's going to be the least decorated captain. Right there with Don Mattingly. That's what he's focused on. Because right now he's in the shoes of Derek Jeter. Derek Jeter had Yankees who got paid more than him. But nobody's more beloved than him. That's what Aaron Judge is focused on. Not if his Hall of Fame caliber teammate who's going to help him win championships makes a couple more bucks than he does. When he got everything he wanted. They offered him a contract at the start of the year. He said, nah, I'm better than that, and I'll prove it. And he did. Then he got shown the school system in San Francisco, and, you know, wined and dined by both the San Francisco Giants, the San Diego Padres, offered him more money. He got everything he wanted. He wanted to experience being a free agent. He wanted to get paid. He wanted the years. He wanted it to be the Yankees. He got it all. He's not going to begrudge someone else for doing the exact same thing. 888-808-1019, 888-808-1019. Let's get to the calls here a little bit. Let's go to Craig in New Brunswick. What's up, Craig?
Hey, C-Mac. Love the show.
Thank you, buddy.
I just wanted your insight and the guys. I watched the Pete Rose documentary, And I just want to make a few points. I've been a firm believer since 89, since it all transpired, whatever year it was when I was younger. You know, you bet on the game. You know, does he deserve the Hall of Fame? Yes. Should he be? No. Considering, I mean, the circumstance of him gambling on baseball, knowing that it was a rule, not something that was just made up. It's been, you know, for decades,
no.
whatever.
And he agreed to the lifetime ban. That was the deal.
Exactly.
Like
exactly.
He came up with a deal. Don't say I bet on baseball, and I'll agree to this lifetime ban. And if he just wouldn't have went everywhere and lied to everybody he talked to and denied betting on baseball, he probably would have been back inside baseball. So like, he did a lot of this to himself. Now, having said that, I don't care. Put him in the Hall of Fame. That's the right thing to do. I mean, like, why are we holding grudges?
Exactly.
And here's the one thing I'll say about Pete Rose and this situation. And I did watch a little bit of the documentary. I saw a little bit of the first episode. I fell asleep. I want to watch it. Yeah, it seemed pretty good. And they had a great opening line when he was talking about the Super Bowl. I guess this was done back when Cincinnati was in the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
And he was talking about Joe Burrow, and he's like, listen, I love Joe Burrow, what he's done for this city. Like, the opening thing, his first, like, they just put him on camera, they open up, they don't even do the credits yet, they open the thing up, and they're talking to Pete, and he's like, yeah, no, Joe Burrow's been great for the city, I'm so excited, blah, 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 and then he goes, but I'd bet on the Rams. And then they cut to, like, the opening of the documentary and all the different stuff, all the producers and stuff. Like, I just thought it was a great cutaway because it's Pete Rose. And he's like, oh, I love Cincinnati. I love Joe Burrow. It's been great. But I'd bet on the Rams. And then I thought it was really well done to open the documentary. But the one thing I'll say, and he brought this up. Here's the reason, to me, it's the most compelling argument of putting Pete Rose in the Hall of Fame. The day he dies, they will do it. The day he dies, they will put him in the Hall of Fame. They will, they'll figure it out. They'll unban him. They'll put him in the Hall of Fame. He will get into the Hall of Fame when he dies. And if you're gonna do it when he dies, then what are we holding it for? Like, just put him. Unless I'm wrong on that, and they won't do it postmortem. But I believe, if unfortunately when Pete passes away, they would do it. So if you're willing, like, if the thought is like, in my mind, they would do it when he dies. So why not do it while he's alive? It doesn't make any sense.
I think they are scared if they put him in the Hall of Fame, he's going to make a mockery of baseball.
Doing what?
I don't know. Maybe gambling, saying the wrong things.
They're in bed with gambling. They're like that. That day is done. Like, I hear what you're saying, Craig.
Listen, I agree 100%. I don't think it's fair. I mean, you're going to look me straight in the face, anybody, and tell me Ohtani did not know he was his assistant,
I mean,
whatever was better.
Whatever you want to say, it was proven. That's what the federal government found to be the truth. Like, I understand you can say this or that and common sense and blah, 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 and nobody lends that kind of money to a interpreter without blah, 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 blah. What do you want baseball to do? The federal government investigated it and found him to be clear of any wrongdoing. Like that's it. The Ohtani thing is done. Like, people keep saying that. Like, oh, well, do you really believe that? Do you really believe that? I don't know what to believe, but I know what the federal government found to be true. The guy's going to jail. The guy's every which way saying, yeah, no, I screwed him. I did this. I did that. Like, you know, I don't know. I can't. Would I bet my mortgage on it? No, I wouldn't. But at the same time, I can't get on Major League Baseball. And it has nothing to do with Pete Rose. Nor does necessarily I don't think just because now they're involved in gambling that should open him up to the Hall of Fame. I just think, I don't know what the fear is of now embarrassing them. They're in bed with all these gambling sites. What could he do now? I think he's banned because of the deal he was willing to make, and then the stubbornness and the lying and embarrassing baseball left and right when they knew he was betting on baseball and he's out there denying it. That's why he's still, and nobody wants to touch it in the current, you know, administration, for lack of a better term, doesn't want to deal with it. But my mind, I just think when he passes away, they'll do it. And that's then do it while he's here to celebrate him. It seems silly. Unless I'm wrong and they won't do it. If I'm wrong, like that, I'll tell you. Like, if he passes away, I'm going to be like, now don't put him in the Hall of Fame. Don't. Stick to your guns. But in my mind, they will when he passes away. So if you're going to do it then, do it now for him. Like, he's the all-time hit leader. He can't hurt you anymore. He's never going to wear a uniform. And you could still put him up for the Hall of Fame debate without allowing him to be in uniform. Like, it's just, it's stupid. But, I mean, it's not anything, you know, Pete Rose is still able to go to the Hall of Fame. Pete Rose is in the Hall of Fame. Some of his stuff is in the Hall of Fame. He's not void of the Hall of Fame. He's just not enshrined. He doesn't have a bust. He doesn't have the statue. But he still goes to Cooperstown and does signings and different things. He's living a fine life. You know, it's not a pressing, urgent issue, but it's not something I think about at night. But yes, if you're asking me what should happen, Pete Rose should be in the Hall of Fame. There are worse individuals in the Hall of Fame.